Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for the third Sunday after Pentecost comes from our gospel reading of Matthew. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." In the name of Jesus. It's the beginning of Jesus' ministry, which is kind of strange, I know. We've been so long busy over the last couple of months hearing about Christ's journey to the cross during Lent and then celebrating the Easter resurrection for 40 days after that. And then, of course, there was Pentecost, which happened after Jesus' ascension. And finally, there was Holy Trinity Sunday, which for us here at Wheat Ridge Evangelical Lutheran held a somewhat special place in our hearts as we celebrated the confirmation of six of our youth. So last week, Pastor Woolery, he took up the mantle of leading us into the season of the church year. It's the season of green, as you might have already noticed, stretching from June all the way to November. And it's here that we get to start all over again. Well, not completely over. That happens at Christmas, of course. But over the next couple of months, we get to follow Jesus in his ministry of preaching and teaching about the coming of the kingdom. And mind you, it's this preaching and teaching that gets Jesus strung up on the cross, of which we'll talk about again next spring. But I suppose it's all connected in some way or another, and of course it has to be. Jesus' ministry is about him. His preaching and his teaching is all about him. And so even in the beginning, it's going to be about the cross. Even today, it's going to be about the cross. So, as Jesus goes throughout the cities and the villages, he comes across many people. And when he sees all of these people, he always has the same emotion. His heart breaks. His gut bubbles and wrenches. All of this is because the people, they're like sheep without a shepherd. And sheep without a shepherd are doomed to die. Now, I don't know all that much about sheep. What a little I do know, I've learned from Scripture. And whatever scripture speaks about sheep, it depicts them as the most helpless creatures imaginable. Without a shepherd, they scatter. Without a shepherd, they're susceptible to any kind of danger. And scripture likes to use wolves as the prime example, but I'm sure there's many more. Whatever the case, what is clear and what is certain is that sheep need a shepherd to guard them and protect them, to guide them to good pasture, to lock them up nice and safe in the pen at night. Like I said, without a shepherd, sheep are doomed to die. And Jesus, he is that good shepherd. We learned about that on Good Shepherd Sunday in the middle of Easter. And we hear about that in Psalm 23. And by following the life of David, who's a picture of Christ, of course, Jesus, he sees his people like wandering lost sheep, harassed by sin and the evils of the devil, helpless to free themselves from the jaws of the wolves in sheep's clothing. Sheep need someone to care for them and protect them, to give them life, to guide them in all of their ways. Jesus, he is that shepherd. What he preaches is the gospel that the sheep need to hear. He is for them. When he leads them beside still waters, those are the waters of baptism. When he feeds them, he does so with his very own body and blood. He's a shepherd unlike any other, going so far as to even lay down his life for his sheep. But in our text for today, we see something just a little bit different. Not completely different, like it's in contrast to what Jesus normally says or does, but more like it's a continuation of what Jesus always is about doing. And notice something, Jesus changes analogies, and I'm not sure if analogies is the best word, but lack of a better one, that's what we're going to use here. After his belly bursts, he has compassion overflowing because he sees these helpless sheep without a shepherd. He then turns to his disciples and he starts talking about agriculture. The harvest is plentiful, he says, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into that harvest. So picture before you a vast field of wheat or corn or whatever else you might have seen as you drive through those endless fields in Nebraska or Iowa. Acres and acres, miles and miles of endless fields all waiting to be harvested. And if left without laborers, the wheat is going to die. The corn is going to dry out and crumble. The grapes are going to wither on the vine. And this the Lord of the harvest would not have. He would have the corn be brought into the barn and those grapes be plucked before the birds can eat them. Jesus cares for the crop like he cares for the sheep, because both of them are you. And he would not have you die all alone without a shepherd and without being harvested. So Jesus, he has his disciples pray to their heavenly Father. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And notice something important here. The harvest is God's. He owns everything in that field. None of those ears of corn belong to anyone else. They are all his, and he won't share them with anyone. Neither will he have one of them drop to the ground and be forgotten. And this, I fear, is something that we sometimes get a little bit confused about. We forget that we belong to him, that we are his sheep, that we are his wheat. We forget that the harvest is his, as if he's going to forget about his field or his flock. He would never do such a thing. And so no sooner does Jesus have his disciples pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest, than he calls them to himself and he sets them up to be the very laborers that he had them pray for. Which gives us something to ponder about. Our Lord would not have us pray for something unless he already had a plan to give it to us. Now, that doesn't mean that we will always get exactly what we want, for oftentimes we pray for specific things when specific things are not necessarily in the cards. It's like when we pray the Lord's Prayer and we pray for daily bread, but sometimes we think that means we pray for a winning lottery ticket, when in all actuality it means that we should pray for the things that we need to support this body and life. It's those things that our Lord is going to supply and provide for us. And so, with that said, we might be surprised sometimes with how our Lord actually supplies his good gifts, but we should never be surprised that he actually does, in fact, supply them. And another thing should be mentioned here. Sometimes we read this text for today and we try and put ourselves into it, which is a good thing for us to do, of course. We should always try and hear what God has to say to and for us when he speaks his word and speaks his promises. But I think sometimes we get a little bit confused, wanting to be a little bit more active in God's plan instead of just being passive. When God has a gift to be given, perhaps we should just be happy to be the recipients of those gifts instead of trying to get our hand into the giving part of it. When it comes to the things of God, it's always better to receive from him. And I say all of this because the latter portion of our text for today is not about you, at least not primarily. None of us are apostles. And so when Jesus sets aside the 12 and gives them the charge to proclaim the kingdom of heaven, that it's at hand, well, that's for them. They're the ones who got to heal the sick and cleanse the lepers and cast out demons. And they are eventually the ones who would be delivered over to courts and flogged before synagogues and dragged before kings and sent out like sheep in the midst of wolves. They're the ones who will receive all of this for Christ's sake. For Christ is making sure that through them the harvest will have its laborers and the wheat will be gathered into his storehouse. Now, I know that all of this talk about sheep and wheat and harvest and flocks can get a little bit confusing, especially since we still don't have a clue where we fit into all of this talk from our Lord. So let's just take a moment, a step back, and try and figure out what is the very most important thing in this text for Jesus. Is it the apostles? Maybe. But probably not in the way that we might think. Because the apostles aren't great and important in and of themselves. They're only great and important because of what Jesus would have them do. And he would have them preach and teach the same exact things that he is going about, preaching and teaching. Which is nothing more and nothing less than that life and salvation are found in Christ Jesus alone. His death on the cross pays for the sins of all of mankind, and his resurrection from the dead gives victory over the grave to all who hear of this gospel and believe it through the work of the Holy Spirit. And so, yes, the apostles are important, but only because of what Jesus would have them do, would have them teach and preach, not because of who they are. So then, what does Jesus see as the very most important thing in our text for today? It's the wheat standing out there in the fields, waiting to be harvested. It's the sheep scattered in the valley without a shepherd. Do you get it now? The most important thing in this text is you. Jesus sees you out there in the harvest field, and he would not have you out there alone. He would have you brought into his barn of salvation. And Jesus sees you as a sheep harassed by your sin and by the sin of others. And he would have that sin forgiven. And Jesus sees you helpless as you stare death right in the face. And he would have it be given to you, the assurance of life everlasting. And that assurance is going to be planted into your ears through the proclamation of the gospel. That assurance is going to be washed upon you in a bath of life-giving water. That assurance is going to be placed on your tongues and put into your bellies as his own body and blood given and shed from the very cross that he died upon for you. You see, the most important thing for Jesus is you. It's always you. So this text is about you. Jesus sent his disciples so that the proclamation of the gospel might one day be proclaimed to you. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, right here in your midst. Don't you hear it? And the forgiveness of sins proclaimed into your ears, and the drowning of your old Adam in your baptism. Don't you taste it? Embodied bread and bloodied wine given and shed for you right here in time and space. Of course you do. But if perchance you don't, then let me once again say that this text for today, every text that we get to hear every single Sunday, the cross and the empty tomb, the ascension and Pentecost, the sending of the Holy Spirit, the building of the church, it's all about you. It's all for you. Because Jesus would not have you standing out in the field after the harvest has come and gone. I know it sounds weird to say, but sometimes it's just good to be a piece of wheat in the Lord of the harvest's field. Because the Lord of the harvest will make sure that every grain of wheat that is his will end up in his storehouse. But pastor, you might say, all that's good, but I want to do something. All right, fine. Lucky for you, our Lord has actually given you something to do. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. Pray for pastors to always be in your pulpits. Pray for missionaries to seek out the lost sheep without a shepherd. Pray that the men God chooses to send out into the world would be faithful to the scriptures and rightly administer the sacraments. Pray that divisions within the church would cease. Big divisions about doctrine, small divisions between congregants. Pray that the Lord would keep his promise to his sheep to be their shepherd forever and always. Pray for the harvest to be full and for it to happen quickly. And wouldn't you know it, the Lord will provide for you exactly what you've prayed for. Not because you prayed it, but because he's taught you to pray for the very thing that he was always going to give you. In the name of Jesus.